The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if it not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall from like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord Jesus. As mentioned in the introduction for this evening's liturgy, the theme that ties the three readings together is journey. In the first reading, people are journeying back to Jerusalem, having been in exile for probably 400 plus years. And so God is bringing them back to their center. And that was critical for the people, because in their years in exile, they felt lost. They were missing their root, their connection to God, and that was in the physical place of Jerusalem. And so God restores them to Jerusalem, and when they do come back, there is a great ceremony that takes place where the people are once again united with God in a renewal of the covenant. Jerusalem becomes the base, the center for their living. In the second reading, St. Paul is reflecting in the book, in the letter that he writes to the Galatians. Paul is really reflecting on the journey of his life, how he came to know Jesus, and how that literally changed everything for him, how he became aware of God's new creation that had come about through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And in the gospel, you see Jesus sending the disciples out. He sends the 72 on journey. And journey is something that, again, we don't give much thought to, in the sense that, oh yeah, we make journeys, people are coming home from their journeys tonight, having gone somewhere for 4th of July, or maybe you're going to go on another journey during the summer. But we think of journeys as kind of, you know, a beginning and an end. We have this particular place that we want to go. But when you look at the scripture, and particularly the Gospel of Luke, it becomes very clear that journey is used in a very different way. Or in a sense, it's the journey of a life that Luke is presenting, the journey of Jesus' life, which then leads to the new creation. Now, when you think of that, again, we think of our own lives. When did our journey begin? You ever think about that? When did our journey begin? Anybody have any idea when their journey began? We're all mystified by it. Well, your journey began probably the day you were conceived. And we know that now from science, because science tells us that even the infant, the child in the womb of the mother, is actually taking in information. Some of you young parents know that when you were going through that process in your life, the doctors might have told you, play music for the child. I would say, well, child, play music, because the child can absorb the calm. But also the child can absorb the anxiety. And so that's a very critical phase. So the journey begins there and then progresses through infancy, through those formative years going up through about 5, you know, and then progresses beyond that with experiences in school. There was that point at which I was administrator of a school, and we used to meet with parents. And one of the things I would always say to them, because we did an in-depth analysis when the child was in the 4th grade, and they might say, well, what's the big deal about the 4th grade? Well, what science tells us is that if a child has had a bad experience in those early years, by the 4th grade, that child is turned off to school. So you want to be very focused about that part of the journey. And again, the journey goes on and goes on and goes on. For some, it's a long journey. For some, it's a short journey. And as with everything, it has its ups and its downs, just as Paul says in his letter to the Galatians. But the important thing, and you go back to the first reading, the important thing is that the journey has to have a focus. For the people of Israel, the focus was Jerusalem. They had to be reconnected to that central reality, which convinced them that the journey would be safe because they were connected with God. For us in our day, we can say that what sustains our journey, the center of our journey, is the Eucharist. Because it's the way that the Lord, in a sense, unites with us in the daily events of our life. We never walk alone, just as Jesus says to the disciples when he sends them out. They're not going out alone, they're going out two by two, but more importantly, they're going with the Spirit. Yeah? The Spirit of Jesus who sends them out, and what they're focused on is the message of the kingdom. So in a sense, they are in it. Their journey is an extension of the action of Jesus. And that then becomes the route for their journey. Becomes, in a sense, not only the route, but the source of the strength for their journey. And it's the same with us today. We come each week to the Eucharist. Sometimes we come more frequently. But the basis of our coming to the Eucharist is because we know we're on a journey. We know that we're moving forward with our lives. And we need, again, to know that we're moving forward with the Lord. We need to know that we have His presence with us as we go forward, because that will give us the strength we need. That will give us the courage we need to carry out the work of the Lord, which is to continue to be proclaimers of the kingdom of God. We pray each time we come to the table of the Lord that the Lord give us His presence in order that we might be successful in our journey.